Cool. Okay, so it's now time for our PHP hour at the Open Programming Languages MiniConf. First up, we have Ben Balbo, who is going to be talking about preparing for PHP 6. Please make him welcome.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay at the back? Microphone's working? Cool. assigning a new object to a variable by reference, which can also be done through a reference function returning an object. That's not deprecated. In fact, you'll get an e-strict, which being part of the all means now your public sites are going to go. Not only will it break, but the users aren't going to be very happy with this strange error message they get. In fact, I'll mention that PHP 4 thingy with the pass by reference. Any Zend engine 1 backwards compatibility stuff that they put into PHP 5, so PHP 4 and 3 stuff could still run, it's not going to work anymore. The var, this is already the case, is now equal to public. As of 5, because PHP 4 in object-oriented world didn't actually have public-private protected, so they remapped var to be equal to public. But if you use it, it will raise an e-strict. So either disable the output or fix your code. Runtime extension loading. Does anybody actually use this? Okay, we've got a couple of users. Does anybody not know of its existence? Okay, that's cool. So for those who put their hand up, basically you can load PHP modules in at runtime if they're required. So you don't have to have it started up with every single PHP process that's executed. The downside to that is that it never gets unloaded properly. And in a threaded environment, it can cause a lot of hassle and pain and computers dying. So it's been disabled by default, but you can re-enable it in the PHP any. But they have left it on in the CLI version because a lot of people use dynamic loading of external objects in command line scripts. So command line stuff, you're fine, but if you're doing any dynamic loading, make sure you re-enable it in your PHP any. Has anybody used this in any of their code? I want character 1. Actually, that should be a 0. I should have actually left that as an exercise to the viewer to catch me out on that. Damn. I've seen 2 hands up. More than 1 occurrence in your code? Yes, in fact, the old way was deprecated, and now it's been undeprecated. Whoever thought that was wise, I understand the rationale behind it. It's looking at the way that the array works. I want the thing at item point 0 in this array. A string is an array of characters, essentially, so why not use this? But why deprecate the one that everybody's currently using because they were told not to use the one that they're now telling you you should use? I'm not sure. But anyway, that's probably one you want to. Out of interest, how many occurrences in your code? Okay. Yeah. 20 or 30. So hand modification is probably not too much of an issue. Cool. The other thing is, I've never actually done much of this find the character at position thing, but apparently you're going to be able to use offsets as well. So you'll be able to say open square brackets 1, 3, and it will give you the first 3 characters from position 1. And you'll be able to do -2 and that kind of thing, same way as string pos or string works, or whichever one it is. Variable breaks. I sent out a tweet asking, can anybody think of a valid reason to have a variable break? And if people here aren't familiar with what a variable break is, you know, you can do break and it'll take you out of the current loop, like the for loop, you can do break 2, it'll take you out of 2 loops, you can do break 5. You can do break whatever the value of this variable is. Quite possibly. So there's one poop. Well, somebody thought this is a really stupid thing, so that's been deprecated. Microtime as float. How many people here use microtime and always pass in true as a parameter? Because who cares about this bit of information here? All you want is a microtime as a float. That's now default. They haven't actually changed anything in the code per se. They've just made the default attribute value to true. So if you're calling true already, you don't need to do anything. If you're expecting this output here, you'll need to specify false. You should be shot as well, yeah. So defaults to float. This hasn't actually been updated in manual yet. I read this. I've got a couple of links at the end that you can go to and have a look at the sources. It was mentioned somewhere. I don't have absolute proof of this, but probably want to look out for anyway. Free type 1 and GD1, deprecated. Go for number 2. Altered or moved functionality. So this is where it's not so much things you need to really look out for, per se, but probably of value to people who use this functionality. Whoa, that's awesome. Let's try this one. POSIX regular expressions. Anybody here still use EREG? Cool, I can go on to the next slide. EREG was in the core. It's now being moved into a PECL extension. And PREG is now the default to use. It's better, faster, all the rest of it. And as a proof of fastness, I ran this script here a million times. And there's almost a second and a half, 1.2 seconds difference. Not a huge amount in the great scheme of things, but when you've got lots of regular expressions you're doing and millions of users, it's probably something you want to look out for. So that's being moved to PECL. MindMagic has also been moved to PECL, and FileInfo has been moved into core. MindMagic has always been a little tricky to deal with, doesn't give you all the information you want all the time. FileInfo is probably the more commonly used module for getting information about files, obviously. That's being moved into core because people use it so much. So if you rely on MindMagic, either switch to the other or remember to include it. Stuff has been added. PHP 5.3 people here will probably be able to catch me out on a few errors, I hope. Namespaces. Who's heard of namespaces in PHP? Cool. I can talk about this. All right. Before namespaces, you'd have a class, and you'd have your set and save, and you set your values, and you save and stuff. But you can only ever have one user class. This is generally not an issue when you work in a team that's working on an application or you're working by yourself. But when you're including lots of different packages from all over the place, you want to import a class from another system that allows you to do whatever. You get into namespace issues where you have two classes of the same name. So they brought in this namespace thing. Now, originally they had a double colon as a separator. For some reason, they thought it would be a good idea to have backslash. The main reason behind that was it was the only single character that was still available. I still don't like it. It looks a bit too Windows-y for me. Yeah, and that was another issue. Is what if you've got a lowercase n as the class name or the... And we'll come on to dynamic loading, auto-loading of classes later. That may become an issue when you represent your class name with the namespace as a string. Get into all sorts of fun. So we've got my company blog with set and save of information, and then you just do new my company blog user. And then you can have my company CMS, set and save, it's the same kind of thing. Or you can just extend a main one, and I'll put this in here to give you an example of getting out of your current, where you are in the hierarchy of your namespace. If you just did framework user, it would refer my company CMS framework user. So the slash at the beginning gets you back to the global namespace. And then you can do things like create a new user and a post and add things in together for my company blog. You can use my company blog user, and then user becomes the class in the current namespace. So it doesn't move it into global. It just means at the moment I'm working in the company, my company blog namespace, and I'm using this class user. You can also use the as. So say you wanted to use the user of the CMS and the blog at the same time. In the same way as in SQL, you can say, get this bit of data and call it that. You can do the same here. So you've now got locally represented a blog user and CMS user reference to the user classes within the respective namespaces. Constants within classes. I just showed you can refer to either just the namespace or specify the class itself within the namespace. You can't do that with constants. So you've got the version here defined in my company blog. So you can do my company blog version. That's fine. You can do use my company blog and echo blog version. The blog comes in here again because blog becomes local, effectively. So you still need to say I'm using version from blog. But you can't use my company blog version because it'll just return it as a static. You get the standard error, foo is undefined, used string foo instead type thing. The question was, will this line here throw an error when you use version as foo? I'm not entirely sure. The last time I played with it was 5.3 in July, which was when there was the colons and stuff instead. And I don't think I actually tried that. But it's a very good question. I'll see if I can find that out. Other way. Namespaces with refer... Once you define the namespace at the top of a file, your or in that namespace. So you define the function foo. Foo is the bundled version of foo. You don't need to specify at that point, I want to call bundle foo. And notice here there's no class. You can have functions in namespaces. If you define the function first, that becomes part of the global. Then you can require the bundle class, which we just created here, which is the bundle foo. And then you can call bundle foo, which will print this as the bundled foo. But because we've never mentioned any point in here which namespace you're in, foo becomes references the local foo. Am I losing anyone yet? Maybe I should have used words other than foo because it kind of all blends into one long mush. So the question was, if I change that required to an include, would that then see the namespace and also what happens down here? I don't believe so, no. Require and include are pretty much identical in operation and in inclusion style, other than include doesn't fail as badly if the file isn't there. Now, if we define the namespace at the top and then define foo, then we're accessing the bundled foo by default, but as I mentioned before, you can use the backslash at the beginning to get back to the global namespace. So you can use it. This becomes useful. You could define here preg replace, and it wouldn't cause an error because what you've defined is bundle slash preg replace. But if you wanted to get to the real core preg replace, you'd need to use the backslash. That's where that kind of global access comes in useful. Auto-loading works pretty much exactly the same. You find the slash and do all of that. So whereas you might normally have a my underscore framework underscore user, you know, separating on slash instead. And then you can use your standard auto-loading kind of stuff. Late static binding. How am I doing for time? Doing well. Not doing well. How much negative time do I have? I'm 2 minutes over. Okay, rushing there. Late static binding. I was going to say, what does this do? Basically, you call say hello on child class. Child class has a function called doPrint. You're calling say, which is defined up here in parent class, which calls self doPrint string. Now, you'd expect it to say child says hello. But instead what happens is because self refers to this class here, it says parent says hello. So now if you change the self up here to static, it'll call the statically defined one after runtime, at runtime, rather. Other stuff, these slides will be available later, but basically these are a whole lot of other additions that won't majorly impact your code. They're more additions and extra functionality and features. There's another slide of information there. Sources of information, PHP manual is being updated at the moment. And there's four things here that I refer to. There's links on them. I'll put this up on SlideShare. Ben Balbo is my nick on most things. Ben at benbalbo.com is my email address, as shown down there. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Okay. So if our
presenters change their
equipment around, and we'll take some questions while they're doing that, are there any questions on preparing for PHP 6? Just a moment, let me get the mic over to you so that so the people over in video land can actually hear what you're saying.
So you said 5.3 includes all of this functionality or just most of it?
5.3 includes most of the additional functionality that I've shown, like namespaces.
Okay.
The deprecated stuff is more the PHP 6. Okay. So if you have a look at the slides again, most of the code samples I gave that either say before 6 or before 5.3 and additional functionality and movement of modules from one location to the other, from core to Peckle and vice versa. That's mostly in 6.
Okay. Thank you.
That's right.
Any other questions?
Very clear.
Oh, very good.
Excellent.
Okay, so everybody please thank Ben.
Oh, thank you.